Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, and praise the Lord. This is Apostle Nasa Deborah Dean with the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministries, along with Life Support Outreach Church. I'm so grateful and thankful today to be back on our radio broadcast on today. I give reverence to God who is the head of my life, and to Apostle Dean, and to everyone in their respective places. I just thank God, like I said, I thank him so much for all that he does in my life, and I give God praise on today. We're going to get ready to go into our devotion. We're going to have a short devotion, a song, a scripture, and a prayer. And then we're going to go into the Word of God.
Thank you.
Will be coming from Psalms 81. Psalms 81. Sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Take a psalm and bring hither the timbre, pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow up the trumpet in the new moon, in the time appointed on our solemn feast day. For this was a statute for Israel and a law of the God of Jacob. This he ordained in Joseph for a testimony. When he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not, I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were delivered from the pot. Thou callest in trouble, and I deliver thee. I answer thee in the secret place of thunder. I prove thee at the waters of Meribah. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. I have just read you Psalms 81 from the first verse down to the eighth verse. May God richly add a blessing to the doers of his most holy word. Father God, we come humbly before your throne of grace, asking you to forgive us for every known and unknown sin, Lord, that we committed against you. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we come on tonight, this evening, Lord, first of all, just repenting and confessing and repenting and asking you for forgiveness and cleansing through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, search our heart, our mind, and our spirit. If there is anything in there that should not be, we ask you to remove it right now. We ask you to create in us a clean heart, renewing us a right spirit and a sound mind. We come, first of all, binding the strong man from our radio broadcast tonight, Father. In the name of Jesus, we ask you to bind up the strong man. In the name of Jesus, and every demonic force, Father, we ask you right now to cancel their assignments right now. In the name of Jesus, we ask you right now to bless everyone that's up. Everyone that's up under the sound of my voice, Lord, I ask you to cover them now. Then I ask you right now to let Deborah decrease, that the Holy Spirit may increase and teach your people on tonight. Minister to us, Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we would be so careful to give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. And praise the Lord. We just give reverence to God, again, who is the head of my life, and to everyone in their respective places. Tonight, we're still on exposing witchcraft in the prophetic. Exposing witchcraft in the prophetic. And we went over a lot of this, some of this, but not all of it. And we still maybe two more weeks of it on a Tuesday. I'm just going to try to just go over it a little bit where it says Paul is praying for spiritual sight and knowledge. He is, in essence, asking God to open the spiritual eyes and minds of the church at Ephesus so that they may both see and know the will of God. This is a articulation of prophetic technology. I refer to this type of technology as the method through which we receive divine communication. Some prophetic people operate primarily in the sight realm. They have a heavy level of spiritual sight, frequent having dreams, visions, and other sight-oriented experiences. Without training, these experiences may be overlooked as simply strange experiences of an overactive imagination. In fact, these are episodes of God speaking to people through the technology of heaven. And what he's saying is that if you don't be trained in this, in your sight, in having a sight realm or a seer realm, it's just like your imagination taking over. That's what it really is. That's what he's saying. So, but that's not what it really is. But if you're not trained in it, you need to be trained in it. And a lot of us go through that, because I went through it for a long time, and I'm still not the best. But I know what God shows me. In the realm of the spirit, we have eyes, ears, mind, and senses that mirrors our five natural senses. We can receive communication from God through a variety of means. This is important to the prophetic development of our lives. We must learn to identify the how. We need to know how God can and does speak to his people. This is learned through solid biblical education. We must then press further to examine the dominant way or ways God speaks to us. This assists us in capturing the message and heart of the Lord. And after successfully examining the realms of communications, we need to then go deeper and press into the motive. This is why behind the how, this is right behind the how. This is why behind the how. The how is the communications and the method and the motive, or the why is the reason for it all. This is the area that we must guard like lions. We cannot afford to spiritual realms without purity. Paul was sincerely seeking God for the church to both see and know, for them to move in a prophetic spirit and have the wisdom and ability to steward what God was saying. This is a true apostolic desire. See, you cannot live any kind of way. And I'm not just going to say hold a title or be a leader, but you cannot live any kind of way and call yourself a child of God. You can't even come to God any kind of way. He won't hear you because he'll have to turn it. When we seeking spiritual realm, in a spiritual realm, we seeking something and you don't have purity, you're not living a righteous life, how you gonna talk to God? We seeking God every chance we get. How you gonna speak to him? Because I know we all sin. You know, we all sin and fall short of the glory of God, but we don't just sin. It's, you know, but we have to live a holy life. We have to live a life that God is calling for us to live. And when you're in the prophetic, now years come without repentance, but when you're in the prophetic, how are you going to help somebody you doing all kind of stuff? You have to try to live that life. So, like I say, Paul was sincerely seeking God for the church to both see and know, for them to move in a prophetic spirit and have the wisdom and ability to steward what God was saying. This is a true apostolic desire. When people are moving in a realm prophetic and a real prophetic anointing with the wisdom and mind of Christ, they are moving above the lies of hell and activated church with prophetic purity and accuracy becomes an unstoppable force in the earth. And I was reading and studying and on some things this morning. When you talking about the prophetic anointing, you need as much wisdom that as you can get. And I mean, you have to know how to come to people, because so many people don't already believe in the prophetic. A lot of people don't even believe in prophets. So when God is speaking to you, telling you something to give to somebody or say to somebody, you have to sure enough ask him to show you how to tell the person or give you a minute to get it together to go to a person, because it's something you're not going to even want to tell somebody you have never seen before. I've experienced so much of that. When I was living in Florida with my ex-husband, we didn't hardly have food and stuff at that time. And the Lord was feeding, was providing for us. So he said, get up and go to the bookstore, the Bible bookstore. So we did just that. Didn't know, we just figured they was putting out some of those the things that you eat in the morning, like donuts and stuff like that. And they cut them up and stuff, and they have free coffee and stuff. So he said, go there. But that wasn't it. He wanted us to go there to meet somebody there. So when we got there, we ate what we could, and we started looking at the books and stuff. So my ex went one way and I went another. So where I went to, it was a white guy standing over, not for, and he was a prophet, but I didn't know who he was and was trying to find out. And he came over and spoke to me. He said, he said, you are the one the Lord sent me here for. I'm looking at him. So my ex heard him, and he walked around. And so, you know, God had him and his wife to feed us that day. You know, you have to have your mind open, because people will come up to you. When I tell you, and I'm going to write a book, but I've had so many different experiences where God used people to speak through me, to me. He spoke through the people to me. So, and we're really still friends today. We just lost touch with them. But I still, you know, would consider them as my friend, because I mean, we went through a lot together. We met up, and we stayed together. We just kept in touch and stuff like that, even though they moved out to California, and we got our divorce. So, you know, it was like that. But I'm saying all that to say, if you're not, your mind is not open to what God is trying to say, you won't know what to do. You won't know what to say. You won't know if it's your mind talking, or you just imagining this, because you have to have an open mind. Like I said, a lot of people don't believe in the prophetic. But Paul was saying, but if all prophesy, and this is in 1 Corinthians 14:24-25, he said, but if all prophesy or prophecy, no, but if all prophesy and an unbeliever or an ungifted man enters, he is convicted, count by all. The secret of his heart are disclosed. And so he will fall on his face and worship God, declaring that God is certainly among you. Now, in this verse, Paul is teaching about the proper administration of the gift of the Spirit in corporate gathering. He says that the gift of prophecy in action reveals the secrets of man's heart. This is the part that opens realms of trust and intimacy. In many ways, the prophetic ministry is the administration of the secret things. Prophets will know different things about others, including those they love and admire. Prophets can also see impending tragedies or difficult situations that will come. Prophets may discern attacks long before they unfold, and prophets can also see into the future. Well, like last year, I was telling people to stock up, get water, get food, and just make sure they had candles and flashlight and batteries. And just, I didn't know, I knew something was coming, but I thought we were going to have a bad winter. So I was telling people, just stock up. I said, there's something coming. We're going to have a pretty bad winter. It's something coming, but I was just letting them know to stock up, and some of them did, and some of them didn't. Of course, I didn't tell them to stock up on toilet paper and paper towels. That's what mostly everybody was stocking up on at one time. But when God is not going to move unless he tell the prophet, he's going to let somebody know. There's so many things going on, and I talked to an apostle that sometimes I listen to her line in the morning. I don't know if I told you all this on last week, but she was saying that the Lord had let her know that we are not going to be able to travel from state to state, because it's almost like they trying to keep us and track us and stuff. And I did go on my phone. I went on my phone to see that they put that COVID tracker on there, and they did, but my tracker was off. I have an iPhone. my tracker was off, and that's the reason why it didn't get on me. Some people, persons like my daughter, she said it was on hers, but she cut it off. They want to track you. They say they just want to track you and to make sure you're not around anyone that have the virus. But my thing is, why come they can access before they did it? She showed us and told us how to go to it, and I went to it, and it was there. So mine was off, though, thank God. It's almost like they're putting that little tab under your skin to keep up with what you're doing, where you're going, and how, and what and where. So, you know, and then she was saying that the governor of New York was saying that he was going to stop letting people in New York, if you know, until this thing gets under control. And she was saying that that's when they're going to start making people stay in their own state. They won't be able to leave state. With, you know, and she said you may probably be able to leave underground, but she said she didn't think that they would let anyone go from state to state. And so, you know, but she is a prophet. She's a prophetic intercessor. She has the fivefold. And a lot of stuff she's already said has come true. So that's how you know a prophet, when what they say come true, or that you have someone to confirm or witness what you're saying. And so, she's been a blessing to me. So, and I know a lot of the stuff she has said come true. So I'm looking for this to happen. I'm not in such a way, but I know it's probably going to come true because there's so many things going on right now. But we have to stay focused on what God says. We have to stay focused. So let me see, where are we? Okay. One of the ways that prop gain access into the heart and lives of people is through the word of knowledge. This gift alone, with the discernment of spirit and the word of wisdom, is common in the ministries of true prophets. There are levels and dimensions of operations for each of these gifts. Some prophets have been given extraordinary levels of divine insight. When the word of knowledge is operating at its highest level, there are amazingly accurate details contained in a prophetic utterance over the life of a person. Many times they are shocked at the accuracy of the word they receive. See, some people don't believe it, but you know, it's a lot of prophets and that to tell you how much you have in the bank and just so many things. And I feel like, and I'm not saying that God won't give them that gift, but I don't think God approves of them looking into your bank account or looking into your purse. Because I was studying about a month ago, maybe not that long, and the prophet, and I think I read it too, but the prophet that sits up and calls itself reading your mind and calling your name out and all this kind of stuff like that, God will give you names, but he don't give you names to get money for what you're doing and all this kind of stuff. I can't, you know, I just can't do that. So, I just can't do that. I mean, if somebody want to bless me, they can do it, but I'm not selling God's word that he gave me that's not mine to give. I'm just a vessel. And so I'm not asking you for a dollar, a quarter, nothing, you know, and be scared to accept something from me because I don't want God to think I'm trying to get money for the word of God that he gave me. And then there's so many prophets out here that just telling you what they want to tell you, what they feel and what they think just by what you say. See, they'll start out saying, well, you married, you got children and stuff like that, trying to figure out what to say. And that's not God. When God gives you a message to give to somebody, he already has what he wants you to tell them. So, and then, you know, I've had the experience where people would walk up to me and ask me to prophesy to them. And I'm looking like, I don't know you, but if you depend on the Holy Spirit, he'll help you do what you need to do. So that's how I got a lot of experience when I first started in the prophetic. You know, I just depend on God. I turn around and pray and say, Holy Spirit, if you don't give me, I don't know. And every time he'll do it. Times people just say what they feel, what they think, and you can't do that. You know, you'll be lying on God if you do that. So that's really spooky and scary to me, because God hate a lie anyway, and I definitely don't want to lie on him. So, you know, you have to watch that being a prophet. Okay. The word of knowledge is a revelation of a current situation or circumstance. It contains details. At times, it can be a name, a birth date, the description of a physical sickness, or a mind attack. When this gift is in operation, secret details are revealed to access that part of a person's life so God can minister to them. It is never for the sake of information alone, but the purpose of divine encounter, course correction, and life-changing ministry. The word of knowledge is a revelation. The revelatory ministry creates an openness so that a person experiences life-changing power and accuracy. See, that's another thing. When you trying to see the fruit of that person that says they're a prophet, then you trying to see the accuracy. Is it going to happen? And sometimes it happens right away, and sometimes it doesn't. But one thing for sure, it will happen. And that's what you have to depend on God to give you that word. You make up something and it don't happen. People are not going to want you to tell them anything. So for this purpose alone, the vessel that is being used by the master must be pure. That's why he keeps saying that. It must be, whoever it is, have to be pure. You can't lie about his words that he's going to give you. When we think of purity, we often think of particular sinful practices or shortcomings in the life of a person, but it's far beyond that. Purity is the heart of a man or a woman. It is the motive of the vessel and then the action behind it. The right action with the wrong motive becomes a breeding ground for evil. The right action with the wrong motive becomes a breeding ground for evil. And talk about motives before you have to, I preached about it once, you have to have a right motive, because God knows, we looking at the outside, we don't know what kind of motive you have. But God looking at your heart, he know every intent and motive of your heart. If you're not right, God know it. He know when you're not right. Asaph was a psalmist in the courts of David, and he was set apart as a prophetic minister. He understood the importance of a pure heart. He chronicled his own temptations in Psalm 73. He became distracted by the ways of the wicked, letting offense swell his heart. One of the primary aims of the enemy towards a prophet, he comes after their heart. He He knows that a heart rooted in wickedness will result in calamity. See, this is what I'm saying. A lot of temptation is out there. A lot of temptation in. But we have to really, because I'm telling you, when I tell people, I be getting attacked all the time. And the deeper I get in God, the more I get attacked. When I was only praying 3-4 hours a day, I was getting attacked, but not like I am now at 6-7 hours a day of prayer when I can't do it. You really get attacked. And people think, well, what does she mean attack? You know, all kind of stuff. Because for 2 weeks almost, I'm trying to get on the radio broadcast, all kind of things happening. Before I got on the radio broadcast, I could play the music, I could do this, I could do that. But as soon as the radio broadcast came on, the music wouldn't play right, the phone started jibber-jabbering and stuff like that. And it's nothing but the enemy. And that's why every time I pray the devotion prayer, I ask God to bind up the strong man, because he is over all of this man. So thing is, we have to stay steadfast, unmovable when we in the prophetic, and we know what God has called us to do. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. And that's in Psalm 73, verse 1. Stewarding prophetic mysteries require maturity. Activation and training should be a cornerstone for apostolic prophetic hubs and churches. We have to examine the fruit and character of those we appoint for ministry to God's people, and is also a key for both lay and fivefold ministry. I will never forget so many times I had to do things, and especially when I was young in the prophetic and healing ministry, I was in Paducah, Kentucky, and this girl wanted me to go to this women's conference, what happens when women pray, and I was still smoking cigarettes at that time. I think I was about 28 years old, and I knew, you know, God had blessed me. I had a gift, but I didn't know how he was going to use me in it. And I was saying, girl, I was smelling just like cigarettes and stuff because I had been outside smoking. She said, I'll wait till you get ready. So when I got ready, we went. And after she taught, she said, well, I want to ask Sister Deborah, would she pray for leaders in prayer? And I'm looking at her like, no, you didn't just do this. So I went on and prayed. I was like, okay. But as I went to pray, as I got in the middle of the midst of the prayer, the Lord told me to go touch this lady. And I was like, I am not finna put my hands on somebody I have never seen. When I tell you, the Holy Ghost was pulling me out of line. And I was stepping back in until I just broke down and gave in and went and did it. But he let me know being obedient is better than sacrifice. So the lady said she had been in so much pain, and the pain left. It left. So I thank and praise God. He gave me an opportunity to do that. And I learned from that. You can't tell God no. You can't. Wait just one minute. Because I was telling him no, but it's like a tug, and I mean he was tugging me. They didn't know what was going on with me, and I didn't know what was going on with me either, because I hadn't had that experience right there with the Lord. But after I got through, then she wanted me to come to her house, talking about the spirit in the house, and I was like, oh no, I don't do that. But now if she would tell me something like that, I would jump right on it. You know, I would jump right on it. But then I had the God that trained me over a period of time. I'm telling you, my years, the years that I went through, 30 years of not knowing a whole lot. Because when I first went into the prophetic, my mom didn't know how to do and how to tell me and what to do and all of that. But God wants you to know about the prophetic. He would believe me. Somebody gonna tell you, because believe me, I've had people walk up to me in the street and say strange things to me. Or we was in, we was in, let me see, Kentucky, Tennessee, I think we were. And I'm saying to myself, what are we doing here? You know, I'm just saying to myself, what are we doing here? And this little old white lady, she looked like a ghost. She walked over to us. She said, "How are you doing?" She was, looked like she could be 105 years old. She was just little and old. And we spoke to her and everything. And she said, "God knows you're here, and he sent you here for a reason." And I'm looking at her. I could have fell off the chair. But these are some of the things that I went through to get where I am today in the prophetic. You don't know how God is going to do things, and it doesn't stop. Sometimes he'll wait a while, or it could be happening every week or every other day. And if you're not paying attention, you will miss it. You have to have a prophetic mind. You have to have your mind together. You can't, especially when you're in the prophetic, you always have to be thinking prophetically, because when I lived in Florida and that Hurricane Andrew came there and people was all, you know, hysterical and stuff, and I had never been in a hurricane. So I stayed at the house and stuff and started getting windy. And I heard the doorbell. And I was on the first level. We were living in the townhouse. So I said, I'll get it. I went to the door. It was two little girls. And they said, "Ma'am, my mom is in the car. We were just out." No, she said, no, they didn't say that. She said, "We're going from door to door to see if you have quarters with states on it." I said, "With states?" And they said, "Yes, ma'am." I said, "Well, let me go and see." And so I went upstairs and I asked my husband, and we got about 3 or 4 quarters up with states on them. And I gave them to them. And they said, "Thank you," and all that, and all this, and all that. And they left. So when I was frying chicken, so when I got back to the stove, I said, they didn't give me nothing for those quarters. You know, I thought, you know, maybe they would give me something. I said, they didn't give me anything. But when that hurricane came through, our lights didn't go off. Nothing happened to us. Nothing happened to our house. Nothing. And so I was paying for my... you know, giving an offer, whatever they want to call it, because it just blew my mind so bad. And then he said he had looked out the window when they left, and he didn't even see them leave. Wasn't a car out there, because I was wondering to myself, how was somebody that they little children out here and all this wind and the hurricane is here, how would they let them out? Those were two little girl angels that came to let us know that they was protecting the house. And in the covering house, I just thank God. I don't care about 75 cents. I just, but you have to have a prophetic man, because I went back to the soul and stuff. I said, well, who would let their children out? In a time like this, everybody should be down trying to be still and be quiet, all this wind and rain and thunder and stuff. But that's the prophetic. That's how God does. That's how he does. If you don't have your mind together, you will miss so much. If you're not open-minded to the prophetic, you will miss a lot. You're going to miss it. And motives matter. Prophetic ministry is at a high level of operation. People are so touched by God that they want to sow monetary gifts. And it's true. They want to sow. When you telling them what they know that God is saying to them, or how would you know it if God didn't give it to you? They want to just sow and bless you. But don't you be out here asking people for it. In fact, this is true of a manifestation of God's power. People are drawn to sow into and support ministries and ministers who have blessed their lives. Their sowing is a sign of honor. And I get that. It's real hard for me to do it because I've seen it happen so many times. But the elders, now I'm reading over 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 17 through 18. It says, the elders who rule well are to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle the ox while he is threshing, or tread not the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his hire. Now, I have to get with that. And you know what? I've heard it so much. But it's, like I say, it's hard for me to receive. I can give and bless people, but it's real hard for me to receive. So, you know, I'm working on that. I'm praying about that. Okay. This is the Old Testament affirmation of a biblical principle. We are to honor the gifts of God, including monetary support. In the Old Testament, people were constantly blessing the prophets. And they was. They were so affected by their ministry that they wanted to bless them back. This type of love and support is a holy thing and needs to be stewarded with the fear of the Lord for our, not bank accounts. They are precious and valuable people that Jesus died for. While they may sow and support, we must never view them through the lens of monetary value. And that's why I don't want people to think, okay, I'm just trying to get money from them. And I know I'm supposed to, it's in the Bible for me to do this, 1 Timothy. And like I say, it's hard for me. I can give and I can sow, but it's hard for me to accept. So like I say, I'm working on that. But it's a blessing to be able to effectively help somebody through the prophetic. It's a blessing to be able to encourage somebody, let them know that you see what they're going through. And you can help so many people like that. It's a blessing. I've been through all that. Okay, let's go on. Witchcraft can enter easily when money becomes the primary aim of a prophet or prophetic ministry. Should prophets be broke? No. Should ministries struggle to pay their bills? Absolutely not. Especially true of ministries that have been a great blessing to people. They should be well funded by the tithe and the offering of God's people. The warning is, that this must never become the sole drive for ministry. Kingdom service, speaking, praying, or prophesying to people. When it becomes all about the money, error will arise quickly. Believe me, it will, for the love of money is the root of all evil. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. This is absolutely how it becomes witchcraft, because then we start wanting to act for money. And then it becomes to where you're going to get in line trying to get that money. And that God not with that. So witchcraft is a spirit that seeks to bind and control people for demonic purposes. It is vital to understand that there are multiple manifestations of witchcraft. There are those who are knowingly involved in witchcraft and evil spiritual practices, engaging supernatural realms, through demonic gateways. These people know they are openly operating in satanic. See, I have been studying that. I studied because it just behooved me how people can read your mind, what you think, and I couldn't get that because I knew that wasn't of God. That's not of God. That's just not of God. You just can't tell me that's of God. I just don't believe that God will give you a mind that's psychic. That's not God. God, when God gives you a word, now he can do anything he want to do. But while you sitting around people, they reading your mind. I don't know. These people know they are openly operating in satanic power. Then there are the more veiled form of witchcraft that seeks to deceive people and entice them away from Jesus. Promising peace and tranquility. This includes any spiritual pursuit that seeks power, supernatural experiences, or encounters without the honor and worship of one true and living God. The list of undercover witchcraft activities in the Western world is rapidly growing as people seek spirituality without consecration and salvation. You have to be really careful for that. Because it's just a thin line between the prophetic and divination. It's a thin line. So you have to really be careful when you're talking about the prophetic, because you can add just a little bit to it, a little bit of your own stuff, and it's not right. It's not right. And I've had so many experiences in that. I'm telling you, people just say things just to say that they are prophets. And believe me, I'm not finna lie on God. If I don't hear it, he don't tell me, I ain't gonna open my mouth. I'm not gonna open my mouth. Let me see here. A young lady, I don't know if she went on and got her certificate in the prophetic, but her name was Karen Brink, and she was with us for a while. But she used to call me, and she was staying in, I think, North Carolina, South Carolina, and she was saying that the church she was attending, the apostle would allow the witches to come there. And she said, she asked him, why would you let the witches sit in the service? He said, well, maybe if they sit here long enough, you know, God will save them. But them witches was chanting and praying against him and the congregation. So why would you let witches sit in your worship service? Why? So she said, that ain't right either, Apostle. I said, no, it's not. And if I were you, I would never allow that. Or I wouldn't be there. So she did leave, but because they everywhere. I mean, they're everywhere. And we have to be careful as prophets, because most of them know who we are, because they can read and see and stuff like that. Does Satan allow them? He give them power enough to see stuff like that. So we have to be careful. And I'm talking about witchcraft in the prophetic. That's what I'm talking about, witchcraft in the prophetic. You know, because that's what it is when it's turning to divination and evil comes out of it. So the church is being lulled to sleep about the seriousness of modern-day witchcraft. Many have been taught that any teaching that is not kind, sweet, and loving is not of God. I've heard Christians even request that deliverances be done in a nice way. I don't know how that can happen. They have been wrongly taught, not realizing that the forces of darkness are brutal. Another common misconception of the church is that we need not be taught about spiritual warfare. Jesus paid the price, so we need to only to focus on him and everything will work out. Wow, that sounds real good, but it's not right. It sounds good, but it's not right. Yeah, he paid the price. But believe me, Satan ain't laying down. 2 Corinthians 2 and 11 says, least Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not of his devices. Apostle Paul was teaching the church of Corinth as he made this statement. Satan can get an advantage when we are ignorant of his devices. The word device means scheme and mode of operation. It is not only biblical to educate God's people on demons, deliverance, and spiritual warfare, but it is vital for a successful Christian living. Let's remember that deliverance was a cornerstone of earthly ministry of Jesus. That's what he did. He delivered all the time. He delivered, you know, different ones that needed deliverance. You got one more minute. But I'm going to put a pin in it right here, because we need to know about this stuff. So when we run into it, we'll know. A lot of us already know a lot about it. But we need to know for the young people, the young, we need to know about witchcraft in the churches. You know, and I'm not saying every church, and I'm definitely not trying to belittle God's church, but we need to look out for that, because people, when they start trying to manipulate you and control you and all this and that, that's what it leads up to. So we have to really, really be careful with that. So I just thank and praise God for everyone tonight being here on the radio broadcast with me. I give God praise and glory. It's just a lot when it comes to this. And I know I may sound like a broken record, but it's all right. I want everybody to know what I'm talking about. And I want everybody to know, because when they run into them, they'll know who they are. They'll know, because they, believe me, they know who you are. You might not know who they are, but they know exactly who you are and know what kind of powers and everything else that God is going to use you in. And so they be trying to wreak havoc on you. So we want you to know And at this time and season in the earth today, we need to know. So we're getting ready to close our Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I come humbly before your throne of grace, asking you to forgive us for every sin, every known and unknown sin that we've committed against you, Lord. Father, I come first of all just thanking you tonight for our radio broadcast, and everyone that's under the sound of my voice, I ask you to keep them covered under the blood of Jesus. Lord, encamp your angels all around about it, Lord. Father, I ask you to open up their understanding, open up their minds, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Just keep the prophetic on their mind. Let them stay on focus, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask you to bless them, Lord, bless their families, in the name of Jesus, Father. And thank you for this word. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for teaching us on tonight. Thank you for opening up doors for everyone, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we'll be careful to give you all the praise, the glory, and all the honor in Jesus' name. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy be with you all. God bless you all. I love you. You all have a blessed night. God loves you all, too. Y'all have a good night. God bless.